T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
One more shout out to the troops. We thank you all. The whole weekend was about you, those who have fallen, those who are still with us and thriving and protecting our country. And we come to you high above Peachtree in the Kia studio saying hello and welcome to this new week. Rick Hamla and John Michaels. So much awesome stuff to talk about. Some not so awesome stuff to talk about. Tiger Woods. But psyched about the Braves. They won last night, deep into the night out there in the OC against the Angels. We're going to talk about it all. But John Michaels, how was your weekend, my friend? You good?
Yeah, I'm good. Awesome. That three-day weekend thing, boy, I like that. I forgot what those are like. And again, we never complain about what we do here. We have the greatest jobs on earth. But it is nice every now and then when everybody else is off to be off. And the bosses were nice enough to give us Memorial Day off. And I spent time on the grill. I spent a little time by the pool. I mean, it was, you know, just a beautiful the day stunk because it was raining. But it was beautiful just to kind of sit and relax.
It was nice to know, actually, what a three-day weekend feels like. Because there's a guy here named Mark Owens, president of the Midday Show with Rick and John, who has a couple of aliases. One of them is Mr. Glass Half Full. Another one of them is Mr. 3 Day Weekend.
And this weekend, it's Mr. Broke. Mr. Spend the Weekend in Biloxi.
Broke, huh?
No.
Oh, broke.
No.
Did you take a bath?
No, because I've got my legit gambling trip. My Vegas trip is coming up at the end of June.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be my all-in trip. That's okay. One I've been saving for.
This got about 10 stacks ready for that one?
Yeah, you know, maybe 2-3 commas working on that. But this was more of an adult kid-free weekend with my buddy Drew and his wife, and just to get away and lounge by the pool and have some adult beverages. And I may or may not have snuck away. And, you know, if my wife's still asleep at about 6 in the morning, I may have set the alarm up early so I could go gamble.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you really do it? Well, we got Tell the Truth Tuesday coming up later in the show.
I'll get into that.
Little teaser for that?
I'll get into that.
Little teaser for that. Oh, we're going to talk a little NHL in the 5 at 10, but Preacher Man, let's get your voice heard right now. Sorry, you guys fought hard to come back in the game.
Yeah, it was a 5-3 loss, first game. Got to play tomorrow night, so I'll save my rant for later. But anyway, let's sup.
Here we go!
The five biggest stories making headlines. It's the 5 at 10 with Rick Kamla and John Michaels. Brought to you by Howard Brothers. Visit any Howard Brothers locations and enter the Everything for Your Yard contest. Win a garage full of lawn equipment. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Oh, we'll start with number one, thanks to Howard Brothers. And number one on our 5 at 10 today, talking about the Atlanta Falcons. A couple of things from over the weekend, and OTAs will begin. But the number one thing I want to start with, the top 100 players continues to count down. Devontae Freeman moving on up in the list and tells you how well respected he is around the NFL. Number 41 on the NFL.com and NFL Network's top 100 players. He's up from number 50 a year ago. I believe that's the first Falcon that's been on the list. And then you'll obviously have some more with Julio and Matt Ryan. It'll be interesting to see how high up these guys are. But Devontae Freeman, he's going to be a guy that gets paid eventually. And he's proven once again it's not only worth to us, teams around and players around the league recognize how great of a player he is.
I was impressed that last year he was in the top 50 after one marvelous season. A lot of times it takes a guy to have a couple of seasons to build up that reputation to get voted like this. So I was impressed that he had already gained that respect around the league to be 50 last year. And again, he was coming off an amazing year. And then he backed it up with another amazing year. Did you know he's the only running back in football that went a grand in both 2015 and 16?
I did
the
not know
only
that.
Guy. Devontae Freeman. Look, we got to pay him big money, but it's got to be slightly team-friendly. That's why they haven't come to terms yet, but I believe they will come to terms. He's a badass. There's no question about it. He's the fourth best back in football, as John and I have talked about a lot, behind David Johnson, Ezekiel Elliott, and Le'Veon Bell. And
David Johnson didn't go back-to-back 1,000-yard years?
I don't believe he did. I think he fell just shy 2 years ago.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because he had to get the job several weeks into the season. Who are they running with him? Chris Johnson.
Yeah.
Little Chris Johnson, little Andre Ellington, too. But in terms of OTA starting, and we're going to talk about it in our next segment here, we got cited for the excessive contact last year. And what I want is us not to have that happen again, John, because if it happens again, they're going to take a draft pick. the Seattle Seahawks know all about this. They sort of disregarded the excessive contact rules at the OTAs a couple of times, and the NFL said, that's cool. We're going to take a fifth-round draft pick from you. So, look, it's established the culture, all the running and hitting, the attack mentality, and we love that, but let's not lose a draft pick over an OTA.
Let's not, and OTAs will begin tomorrow. They'll also continue June 1st and 2nd, then the 5th and the 6th, the 8th and the 9th, and then the first mini camp June 13th through the 15th, which last year we were out there for. I don't know if they're open to the public, because I know last year at least one of the mini camps was open. We may be out there, we may be not. No live contact permitted, as you just mentioned. 7-on-7, 9-on-7, and 11-on-11 drills. Please, and again, there will be stuff where there's no contact. Hey, who's going to win the right guard spot? We don't know yet. Wait till they throw on a shoulder pad and pants and a helmet and they're actually butting heads before you ask who's going to win right guard. Because honestly, we don't know any more than Dan Quinn does at this point.
John, that's an appropriate question in mid-August.
Yeah.
Or early August,
sure.
Mid-August, when they start playing games. Not just the practice. You're going to hear stuff from practice. This guy's doing well. This guy's not. They need to get in games and knock helmets with other teams. And we see it ourselves when we sit down with our beer and our popcorn. That's when we're going to have a good handle on who's going to be the right guard. Let's move on here. More Falcons in our next segment here at 10:20. But number two is our Braves in our 5-at-10. They lost the season series over the weekend to San Fran. They won on Friday and then got blown out on Saturday and Sunday, but came back yesterday with a 6-3 victory against the Angels. And the big takeaway is Julio Teheran. 6 1/3, gave up 3 earned on 3 home runs, struck out 5, but did get the win, his 4th of the year against 4 losses. His ERA is down to 4.82. So he's got a ways to go, but a good win for our guys last night.
But it's a couple of good starts in a row for Julio Teheran. Remember when he pitched last time at SunTrust Park, he actually pitched well here. You hate to give up 3 home runs, but if they're of the solo variety, you can deal with it. You don't want the ones with men on base. He hasn't been great, but you can see the corner being turned by Teheran, and this is what you need, a guy that doesn't allow 2 to turn into 3, 4, or 5. And I saw some stuff over the weekend, Jim Johnson, just the quick early rumors. Could he be a guy that's on the move somewhere? I hope not, but if he brings back, just say, another bat. You've got Arodis Vizcaino, you've got Mauricio Cabrera, you've got Jose Ramirez, guys that potentially could fill a closer's role, do you at least entertain those somewhere down the road?
Well, sure. I mean, if somebody wants to dangle a hotshot third baseman at us, because I look at that. Flowers and Suzuki have been beyond fine. They've been better than fine. One of the best catching duos offensively, believe it or not, of any team in baseball. And you look around, Markakis killing it, Ender killing it, Freddie when he's in there, now Adams, right? I mean, you look around the lineup, there's a lot of guys playing well, and then you kind of look at third base with Adonis Garcia. That, to me, is a position that we could upgrade, so I'd be listening. Shout out to the new guys, man. Adams had 2 ribs last night. Santana had 2 RBIs, and Rio Ruiz did as well, as we pounded out a 6-run third inning to get that victory. So we're 22-27 right now. Looking good. Hanging in there without Freddie.
Around 500, that's where you want to be, and then maybe you make a run, make some trades, and try to upgrade the roster as you get to the trading deadline a little bit later on. They've overcome a really bad start. The key now is to not get back to those 5-plus game losing streaks that they had 3 of in like the first 2 months of the season. They'll play 10:07 tonight, still at Los Angeles. I believe Bartolo Colon on the mound again today. I think this is becoming a start for Bartolo Colon. It's either you're going to be in this rotation and you need to start proving your worth, or it's time for them to move on from Bartolo.
Yeah, John, we can move on here too with our 5-at-10, but really quickly, it's been 2 months.
Yeah.
All right, I just dropped Chris Davis, the slugger from Baltimore. I gave you 2 months, bro. You're rotten ass in my lineup. I got to cut you loose. So it gets to a point with Bartolo where, dude, it's been 2 months, not 2 weeks or a month. 2 months, 1/3 of the season. Bye.
Real quick, only because we're not going to talk much other baseball here in the 5-at-10, but Mike Trout headed to the DL, surgery on his thumb.
Really?
Torn UCLA, or torn UCL, could be out until August for Mike Trout.
Wow, what a shot that is to baseball and the Angels. And another baseball note, John, we got to talk quickly about the brawl between Bryce Harper and Hunter Strickland yesterday. Punches were thrown, punches were landed, benches cleared. It was awesome. And who did you think won? I'll give you my answer in a minute. Who won? You're the fight guy. Who won?
Strickland had the more solid contact. Bryce Harper looked like a kid that was just flailing. And his throw of the helmet, or attempted throw of the helmet, that was embarrassing.
All right, so I think Hunter Strickland won for a couple of reasons. One, he didn't get decapitated by a helmet thrown at a very close distance by the inaccurate Bryce Harper. And I agree with you. I mean, they both landed a punch. And Hunter Strickland hit him in the butt.
Yeah.
So he hit him twice.
Yeah.
So I think Hunter Strickland, if I'm, Ferdy Pacheco or whatever, I'm going with
Harold
Hunter
Letterman. If I go to the scorecards right now, more accurate punching, I give it to Strickland, one round to none. We turn it over to Paul Bible, number 3 on our 5 at 10. We're all in this together, Paul. We are all cheering for your Preds.
Oh, I saw you tweeting out last night.
Yeah, they
that.
Fought, they scratched, they clawed, but they come up just a little bit short.
Well, you know, in my opinion, and most people that are watching last night, they got hosed in the first period with the quote-unquote phantom offsides where we scored a goal to go up 1-0. Then the Predators went in the tank for the rest of the first period mentally, and the Penguins put 3 up on the board, scratched back in the 7th, got 1 back, so it was 3-1. Got 2 more back in the 3rd to make it 3-3 with about 6 minutes left to go. Very exciting. Hopefully, you know, I was looking for OT, but about 2 minutes left, pulled the goalie. They got an empty netter, and then they got an extra one on top of that, so it ended up being 5-3.
So if it was tied, why did you guys pull your goalie?
Well, we were trying for the 6-man advantage. They were trying to get that goal. They were trying not to play for overtime. They were trying to score.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
That sounds like bold and kind of stupid.
That's what most teams do, though. We're not the only team that would do that.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Because I don't watch a lot of hockey, but I have watched a lot of hockey, and that seems very unorthodox. In a tie game to pull your goalie where you should just play it out. I don't know. Am I too conservative on that? Is this old hockey thinking and new hockey thinking is to go for it?
You know, it depends. I mean, they're going with the same style they've played with all year, so they're not trying to change things up, and that's how they've played.
Interesting.
So, yeah, they were trying to go for the win, because they had won every game one so far in the playoffs in the Stanley Cup. This is the first one they've lost so far.
Well, John, I mean, Preacher Man, it's your Preds. It's now our Preds. We want them to win for you, but I don't agree with that. I would have played it more conservatively. How about you? Would you have gone for it and pulled a goalie or played it out?
Yeah, I probably would have played it out only because you had fought back so hard. You had actually dominated Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh didn't have a shot for like 37 minutes. So you were winning really the entire game outside of that first period where
Paul
talked about
it. The Predators are the first team to hold an opponent to 0 shots in a period in Stanley Cup finals since the NHL began tracking shots on goal since 1957-1958.
What period?
Second period. Yeah.
Are you kidding?
They didn't score for over...
They didn't have a shot goal the whole period?
No, not one.
Oh, my God.
Moving on, number 4 on our 5 at 10.
You guys are still in this, Preacher Man. You're still in this.
It's game one on the road.
Going 7.
We're going to make this one go real quick, but a streak in college baseball is out the window as my Canes, first time in 44 years, do not make the NCAA tournament. They got hosed.
I just want to say this real quick. Last time we talked to you, last Friday, boys and girls, John was freaking out, pumping his fist and doing all this kind of stuff about the Miami Hurricanes and watching the game. Remember, he was kind of doing some play-by-play in here. And your boys did not make the tournament.
No, we got the win that we needed, but there were about 5 teams that got auto conference bids that would not have gotten in, probably knocked Miami out. There's a lot of stuff we can get in there. And number 5 on our 5 at 10, it'll lead us into our top 5 Tuesday, but Tiger Woods over the weekend gets a DUI in Jupiter, Florida. He said alcohol not involved. We'll read his statement and come back with the top 5 Tuesday.
I'm not buying it, John.
We'll discuss that next. But our top 5 Tuesday, who are the biggest falls from grace in sports? That'll lead us off next. We'll talk some Falcons as well. But first, the CBS Sports Minute.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.